Hi, and welcome to my new podcast, Aloneness versus Loneliness and the Epidemic of Loneliness. Have you ever found yourself scrolling through a list of people on social media and thinking, I have a lot of names of people here, but I don't feel like I know most of them? And how many of them could you call your friend? We have a lot of technology now, like social media. And we can find all kinds of things, information and people at our fingertips. But guess what? We've never been so isolated from other people physically and emotionally. So our circles online might be growing, but what about meaningful connections in real life? In July, we recognize that month as Social Wellness Month. That's a time when you acknowledge and promote the importance of building relationships and checking in on our social health and well-being. Coming to terms with what this epidemic of loneliness is all about is my guest for today. With me today is Josh Williams. He is a behavior specialist from Community Options, Inc. If you're not aware of what Community Options does, they serve thousands of people with disabilities throughout 12 states and support individuals with intellectual disabilities and developmental disabilities. But they also serve people with co-occurring medical and mental health conditions. So Josh, welcome to my podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. You have that soft, deep voice.
Oh, I appreciate that. I don't think they can see me blushing on here, but I'm blushing.
Josh is blushing. Okay, Josh. The reason that I am so glad you're with me today is we are, as I said before, more connected in certain ways than ever before. But according to the Surgeon General, we are going through an epidemic of loneliness. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree.
Okay, tell me why. What have you seen in your job?
Well, I know with my job specifically, there's an issue of communication. Some people aren't able to articulate how they feel or don't even recognize the feelings that they're having.
So they're not terming it as loneliness?
Probably not.
Okay. I think one of the things you would definitely agree with me on is that human beings are very social creatures. We survive by being in groups.
Correct.
Okay. So we've created a world now, unfortunately, where we live online. We work online. Some of us work from the comfort of our homes. We're not even going out to a job site. So this is probably one reason why loneliness is on the rise, even in this world of online communication. And I use that term loosely.
Mm-hmm.
We are all lonelier than ever.
Right.
So you would agree then we're in a loneliness epidemic.
For sure.
Tell me some of the things that you've seen with younger people. I know they're saying that younger people are the ones that are suffering the most. So what kind of symptoms are you seeing with them?
Some of the symptoms I'm seeing with the younger generation is people not feeling like they're heard. And I tend to see people act out or even, you know, do rebellious activity just so they can be seen or heard or to express themselves. Mm. And that is probably a thing of loneliness to me.
Okay. That's interesting because we have seen also a rise in violent or aggressive behavior in our society.
Right.
And you think those two are connected?
I do. Yeah.
Why do you think specifically younger generations?
For the younger generation, I think sometimes there used to be a song called Parents Just Don't Understand, or maybe Adults Just Don't Understand. But I think some people kind of feel that they have certain ideas and they don't feel that they're either being heard or they may not be able to articulate what they're trying to get off their chest. And they bottle it up. And as you continue to bottle things up, it explodes.
Now, are you a person who spends a lot of time online and communicating that way?
I'm guilty of that.
Okay. And how old are you, Josh?
I'm 35.
You're 35. So you're in...
I guess I would be a millennial.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes. So do you think Gen Zers have a harder time than millennials do with this communication and this social connection?
I think they rely on it way more. I'm also seeing some of the Gen Z, you know, they're able to articulate and use their words, but I think they were born with the iPad in their hand or they had these technologies already. I didn't experience these technologies until I got into high school and a little bit into college.
So you haven't been using it as much.
Not as much as them.
So do you think then you rely more on the actual real life communication than they would?
I prefer that. I would prefer you know, face-to-face contact.
Yes. And you know what? In my generation, I prefer face-to-face because I think I was taught that the way a person looks you in the eye or shakes your hand says Correct. A lot about their character. And if you're online with people, you don't have that connection.
Correct.
Which leads to trust, I think, or mistrust.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go through some stats here. They are actually saying younger people are more likely to experience feelings of loneliness. 30% of Americans 18 to 34, which is just a little bit younger than you.
Right, right.
said they were lonely every day or several times a week. And single adults, nearly twice as likely as married adults, that makes sense, to say they have been lonely on a weekly basis over the past year. And that was a report that was done in January of 2024. So that's pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is we say, oh, big deal. Someone says they feel lonely. But it's more than that, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And so loneliness isn't just feeling alone. Actually, there's a difference between that. I wanted to talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Aloneness versus loneliness.
Mm.
Tell me what you think the definition of those two words is.
Aloneness or loneliness. Okay. So one of the things, and I don't know which one this will fall under, but like I know people, and myself included, will go into a room, know everybody in that room, but still somehow feel isolated.
Disconnected.
And lonely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be due to part of just how you're feeling internally. Do you feel connected or do you feel disconnected with your life or reality in that moment? And do you feel that you're being advocated for, even the things that you can't even articulate Mm-hmm. inside of you?
Don't you think that aloneness is something that you can choose more than loneliness? A person can choose to be alone. That doesn't mean mm-hmm. they're lonely.
Right.
But they don't necessarily choose to be lonely.
Right. Yeah, I kind of agree with that because it's like you could choose to isolate yourself when you're lonely or choose to have your space. But sometimes, you know, that feeling of loneliness, it can happen at any point, you know, and it could be an unexpected feeling too sometimes.
Right. And for a variety of reasons it can happen.
Yes.
I think one of the things that happens with, especially at social media, you're focusing more on quantity of people that you know than the quality
right.
of the people that you know. You know, everybody's like, oh, I got this many likes or this many hits on my post or whatever it is. And that's how they determine success.
Right.
Not, oh, I have 3 really good friends that I can call on if I need help.
And a lot of time when people are posting, they're posting the best of the best of their life. Right. Mm-hmm. They may be going through turmoil or anything, but if they went to a good concert or, you know, they met a celebrity or they're doing something that they enjoy doing that they like to share with people,
mm-hmm.
you're seeing, you know, the positive side. And I think that's kind of the downfall with social media is that it doesn't give you that that spotlight view of how the life they're living really is.
So it's not a realistic view, in other words.
No.
Well, being lonely can actually cause more problems than just feeling isolated and alone. It can bring on a lot of mental health conditions, right?
Correct.
Depression, anxiety, that's been linked in research to chronic loneliness. So how are we dealing with that? Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that can happen, some of the health issues.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I think it affects you on a mental health level and on a physical health level.
For sure.
Okay, so mental health, we have depression, we have anxiety, we have low self-esteem and sleep problems. Are you seeing that in a lot of the people that you're dealing with?
Oh, yes, yes.
Which of those do you think is most common?
Anxiety and depression ring out to me the most. And when it comes to behaviors, I see some of that is where their behaviors are spawning from. And when people lean into acting on their anxiousness or depression, they usually do things that they normally wouldn't do that's indicative of their character.
When you hear somebody say, that wasn't like them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Some of that is stemming, according to you, from the depression and the anxiety that they're feeling because of this loneliness.
Correct.
And then we have physical health. I don't know if people actually link this in their head to being lonely, but it can bring on heart disease, type 2 diabetes, dementia, high blood pressure, and obesity. All right. of those things can happen. So What happens when you're lonely for too long? Very serious negative consequences.
Correct.
To not just your physical health, but your mental health. And they can actually get worse if you leave them alone too long.
Right.
So how do you help people work through some of their feelings of loneliness? What's the first thing that you talk to people about?
I like to, attack it right at their identity, right? And who they are and how they are when they're healthy. I always like to come to the healthiest point of where I've seen them at their best.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is your identity, not your depression or even your circumstances. It's who you are and your identity and what your aspirations are, some of your goals. And I constantly remind people of what they told me before, not to throw it in their face, but to kind of hold them accountable. And it also makes me hold myself accountable as well, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. But if they tell me that they had a certain goal, I said, do you remember that time you told me, you know, you wanted to be a paramedic or you had aspirations of maybe even learning how to drive? And then I kind of refocus them on the steps to maybe achieve that. And, you know, we could build our way up from there.
Honestly, we do lose our way. We start our life with hopes and dreams and aspirations. And along the way, a lot of times our circumstances change those for us. So I think reminding someone, hey, this is the picture that you painted of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back and revisit that.
Right.
And tell me how far you are from reaching that at this point, basically, is what you're doing, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
In the U.S., a significant number of people experience loneliness. Let's go back to some statistics. So in 2021, there was a survey that found 36% of Americans felt serious loneliness. A lot more recently, in early 2024, a poll found 30% of adults experience loneliness at least once a week. And in August of last year, a Gallup poll found 20% of adults reported feeling lonely a lot of the day. So finally, I guess the total here, 52 million adults in the U.S. struggle with loneliness. 52 million.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, there are some factors that contribute to loneliness. Let's talk about some of these. Income. What are you seeing with that?
Well, even people, I mean, I could even say myself, it's just like that increases anxiety. Things are so much more expensive than they were at one point, and people are just trying their best to keep their head above water. And that sometimes gets you into a headspace where when you're in your head, and it's just like, how am I going to do this? And you're just how? And it's all about, how am I going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that could be lonely because you're just putting a lot of pressure on yourself, but it's a necessary pressure because you have to, you know, provide for yourself and your family. So I think the stress of just living in general, have people in their heads, and it's a spiraling effect, essentially.
Sure. And I'm sure lower income households would have even more
for sure
of that feeling.
For sure.
I think all of us right now are experiencing that at all different levels.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're right. We have pressure on us constantly every day to support ourselves and our families.
Right.
And we feel like failures if we're not able to do that. And if you're in that situation, you might feel loneliness because you don't know what everyone else is experiencing, and maybe you're the only one.
Exactly. And I can even attest to myself. I was in a situation where I just, you know, I see everybody else in my friends and my family. They seem like they're, you know, everybody's doing well, but I don't know what's going on in their personal lives unless I talk to them or really see what's inside of their head. But like for myself, I isolate when I am not doing well, because I do not want people to know that I'm not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Then people start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a thing where I don't want to show people how, you know, how deep I'm hurting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or how deep
it makes you vulnerable.
It does. Mm-hmm. And I request that from people. I request that from my clients, but I'm always putting a wall up. Maybe I try to distract with humor or distract with maybe putting a social media post up that looks really positive, and
mm-hmm.
but I'm really, you know, dying inside because I feel lonely. I feel hopeless. I feel like there's no way up from the pit I'm in.
And then social media, of course, like you said before, people are at times presenting an unrealistic view of what their life is, and then other people are comparing their
mm-hmm.
lives
yep.
with that unrealistic view, and that's creating a certain level of loneliness.
And that's why I dislike social media. I use it. I have to use it for all the different things that I do in my life. But constant comparison is a killer. You don't know exactly what people are going through unless they post it, you know. And some people are extra vulnerable with their posts. And then you'll have these people, some naysayers, who's like, oh, well, they post everything. You know, they post too much. You know, right. I wouldn't tell my business like that. But maybe that's the only outlet they have. Maybe they don't have a therapist. Maybe they grew up in a family where therapy wasn't a thing to do. I know the older generation had a thing about mental health where they didn't believe in therapy. They didn't believe in, you know, seeing a doctor about your feeling, you know, and we're seeing the ramifications of that. We're seeing some behaviors happening, not just with my clients, but I'm just talking about everybody. Everybody is feeling the ramifications of that. And that's why we have a lot of anxiety, and to go back to that, you know, depression and then loneliness to that.
And don't you think older generations were taught that you just shut up about everything and pretend like everything's okay?
Yeah, and bottle it up, you know.
Yes.
You know, take it like a champ, you know. Take it on a chin.
Okay, how about gender? Let's continue with some factors that contribute to loneliness. Gender, women slightly more likely to report loneliness than men. Would you agree with that?
I think so. I think so. Because, I mean, if we're going by stereotypical things, right? Women are more into, and I'm speaking from stereotypes, but they're known to share more of their feelings and be more vulnerable and, you know, softer with their emotions. So maybe that's probably why we're seeing that. But
all right. And age, we've talked about this. Younger people more likely to report loneliness. Families, mothers of young children more likely to report loneliness. And the pandemic, of course, which how many things are we going to attribute to that, right?
Correct.
It increased feelings of loneliness for older Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because of the social isolation.
Exactly.
We had to do that in that circumstance. Do you think we've gotten back yet from the pandemic back to where the levels were before the pandemic hit, or are we still suffering from those side effects?
I would say we were doing a lot better than we were in, like, let me just throw some years out, 2021, 2022. I think we keep seeing an uptick in normalcy, but I think there's still some things where we forgot how to socialize or even engage with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think even more so, we became keyboard warriors, or even, let's talk about the elderly folks, you know, seeing about people and taking care of them. I think we're relearning how to do some of that still. But I do see it's dramatically better than we've seen in 2020, okay, the 2025.
So we're heading in the right direction.
I believe so, yes.
Good to know.
Yeah, I'm hopeful.
Because I think one of the key words here too is community.
Whew.
Right?
That's one of my favorite words.
Yeah, how important is community to each person?
One of the things we were talking about earlier, I always looked at community, always broke it up. And I didn't hear this from anybody, so I'm going to trademark it. But community is communication, and unity is unifying each other. So I think when you're able to communicate and then unify, I believe that's where we function the best, you know, when we're able to become one. And I feel less lonely because I look at things from identity. I don't look at a person based off their gender or their race or anything. I look at them as a soul. I look at them as a soul and I say, hey, that person is a person like me and they're going through things. And that usually helps me give people more grace when they're going through things. Or if I see a behavior, I'm like, that's stemming from something. And they're battling something. And I've seen that because I've only, you know, I battle my own things. So I'm able to have a little bit more grace with that. But I think communication and unity forms the word community, and I believe that's what heals things.
Wow, I can't imagine you verbalizing that any better than
thank
you just
you.
Did. You're going to bring a tear to my eye, actually.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
So today we have been tackling the subject of loneliness, and the Surgeon General has said, yes, the U.S. is experiencing an epidemic of loneliness. My guest today has been Josh Williams. He's a behavior specialist for Community Options, Inc. Thank you so much, Josh, for being with me
today.
Thank
you for having me. It was a pleasure.